And then this visited, we will say we stuck here in our Sunday school for we don't divide our Sunday school this time because I trust that our lessons are very important for all of us to learn. And this is still about the justice of Christ. So I might put this, you know, in summary so that all of us can glean from the word what is the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 14. Start with Romans chapter 14. We will try to put all these verses together, that after we finish this topic, we have covered all the verses that are related to the justice of the Lord Christ. So chapter 14 of the book of Romans, verse number 10. I will just read this and then we will go to the Lord's prayer after reading. The Bible says in verse number 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set a thought thy brother? For we shall all stand before the presence of the Christ. I will thank you, Lord, for this morning and for listening to you, listening us to this place to think about it, that you have allowed us to come this morning and study the source of our help for our many people because of your grace that you want us to come. And I pray that the people traveling come to this place of worship, I pray to God that you bless all of us, bless our hearts, for our hearts and minds. As we come to you, Lord, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will have a free course to our to saturate our minds, to saturate our hearts through your word, and give us victory, Lord, and I pray that you will be with us throughout these days and through these. We have our divine service later on, and anniversary in that course, and furthermore to our evening service back here in the Lord, I pray that in everything that we do, all the things that we said and done, will bring out to your glory and honor. Bless all of us with this thanks to you and to your Holy Spirit. We will be more excited about your coming, more excited about the service you will bring. Bless all of us this morning, each and every day. Amen. Amen. What is the judgment seat of Christ? Again, the judgment seat of Christ, this is the day when believers will give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ about their words, about their motives, and the things that we have done in this world. So again, in Romans chapter 14, if you go further down to verse number 12, he says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So everyone, not a new guy, a group of people, not the church, but rather individually, we will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. So this judgment does not determine our eternal destination. This is not about you will go to heaven or someone will go to hell. If you are part of this judgment, this is not about hell. This is about this is to determine whether you have been wired or not. Nothing more than that. So this judgment will not determine about us going to heaven or going to hell. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24, the reason being that this is not about judgment, about going to hell or about going to heaven, is because the judgment that will send us to hell has already been done by the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. He has lost our Calvary. He gave his life, he shed his blood, and therefore no more condemnation for our soul, because Jesus Christ died for our sins. Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. It says, who is also bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. So we are saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also after that, he has given us eternal life. If you notice that in John chapter 10, verse number 58, he said, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So So the Lord Jesus already suffered all the punishments for your sins and mine. The Lord Jesus already suffered for our punishment at the cross, and we do not have to fear judgment for our sins because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ took all our iniquities away. He paid it all. Your sins have been paid in full. Your soul is free from sin. Now, all unbelievers will face a separate great white throne judgment. So you will face the great the judgment seat of Christ. But for those people who refuse, because you cannot really force them, you go out, you know, in this building, you go out to the park. There are so many people there. They enjoy the park. They enjoy their stroll and they enjoy for the day. But they do not have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you cannot force them. There are so many people that will just remain where they are. They do not want to do. They don't want to have anything to do with God. So therefore, they are bound to go to this place. And what is this place? The Bible calls this Great White Throne Judgment. Great White Throne Judgment is found in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. If you are here this morning and you do not know that your soul will go to heaven, for sure this is the place for you. But if you know that your soul will go to heaven because of Jesus Christ, this is not for you also. Now here, in chapter 20, verse number 11, it says there, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fell away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the words." So in this judgment, the unbelieving people, the souls that die without Christ, will go to this great white throne judgment. But because sinners are also like, they have this degree of sins in their lives. Some people are really, they do not do anything but meanness and cruelty and you know, shedding innocent blood, killing people, killing innocent people, and raping people. They do not do anything good. They are just, you know, violent. So these kind of people will be judged according to their work. And there are also people who are not basically, demonic. There are people who believe in their religion and they do things good in their sight, thinking that they can be saved by their good works. So these people also have their judgment. They cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven because to enter into the kingdom of heaven is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on any other basis. Because the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 6. John 14, verse number 6. Bible says, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, because Jesus Christ said this, all other religions cannot enter heaven. Muslims cannot enter heaven. The Lord Jesus said so. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe the Mormons, they have different Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't even believe in heaven. Heaven is the place where we go. They believe heaven is just here on earth. They believe that hell also is here on earth. But that is no part from the truth, because the Lord Jesus Christ prepared us to be kept away from this place, because God will judge this place. God will judge this world. So here you can see that the great white throne judgment is for them who refuse to receive Jesus Christ. Whether they are good people or bad people, it's over there. But we have the degree of punishment. We have the degree of punishment. And in verse number, Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12, this is the day of rewards and disappointments for the believers. If you are a believer and you do not live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will lose your reward. And there will be great regret. There will be great, disappointment there. Because, first of all, you disappoint God. Secondly, you will be disappointed of your own. You will be disappointed of your own action. And there was a song, I remember, it says that, "Oh, I wonder why I didn't love you from the start. I've waited so long," and I remember the song that he said, doing a lot of things in this world, he knows that he's saved, and then, I wonder why I didn't love you from the start. And a lot of people will be in that moment of regret there in heaven, thinking that they have all the chance, they have all the opportunities to serve the Lord, and because He rightfully owns our service, He rightfully deserves our service, the best service that we can, and then you miss it. You know, you just wasted your time, you just wasted your talent, you just wasted your resources, you just wasted the life that God has given you. And there will be great disappointment. And this is in verse number 12 of Revelation 22. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Again, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment seat of Christ is an event that will reward the believers for what they did for the Lord Jesus Christ and why they did it. The reason why he did it will also be counted. So in other words, if you do the things for the church, if you do the things for the souls of men, and then the ultimate motive there is not for Jesus, it's not going to be counted. If you serve the Lord faithfully and you come to church, but the ulterior motive from deep within your heart is not really for the Lord Jesus. Maybe for your gain, or maybe for your fame, maybe for money, maybe for anything or to your advantage. If you serve the Lord Jesus, and you know that is good, but again, if the motive of serving Him is not to glorify His name, but rather for your own advantage, that is going to be nothing. That is going to be revealed. And again, you will suffer loss in that. So how will believers be judged? Good works will be revealed, and good works will be rewarded. You see, once we are saved, sometimes people think that they can do anything and they can do everything because they are saved. And God will never change His mind. And that is true, but again, you are not saved to remain a sinner. You are saved to serve. And you cannot serve God playing in sin. God separates you from sin. And why should you go back there and dwell in sin? So that is why good works will be revealed and rewarded. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, to verse number 14, this will show to us what a Christian can do in this time. There are things that we can do, and there are things that are approved to God, and there are things that are not approved to God. There are things that it can glorify Christ, and there are things also that will not glorify Christ. But again, if you suffer loss in this, you are not going to go to heaven. You are still going to heaven, but you have no reward. For after foundation, verse number 11, "Can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall be declared, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work upon which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire."
See, verse number in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, chapter 4, verse number 5. He said, therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God.
So, here in the judgment seat of Christ,
God is looking
for what is valuable to Him. And God is interested in the sincerity of the believers. He's interested in humility. He's interested in the reason why you move, why you do things. He's very interested of your motive in your Christian service. So our motivation for serving the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed, and our motivation of serving others will also be revealed. Why you help someone? Is it because you have you are after gain afterwards? No, it must be sincere. Our sincere service is what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking at. Whether it is service for God, or service to God, or service to men. When we serve others, it must be because we want to please God. So the words that God approved will remain. They are like gold, silver, precious stones. But there are words that will not pass, like that's the fire. They are good, faith, stubborn. So again, I always thought about why there are different kinds of materials there. Like say wood, hay, and stubble. And we know that when the wood will be burned into the fire, it lingers longer than the hay and stubble. Hay and stubble will just easily and quickly turn into ashes. But the wood will remain a little bit longer. It creates timber, and the solid pole there will remain. But then on, again, everything will turn into ashes. But to classify this, I believe also in our words, in our actions, or in our dealings with people, there are these actions that we do, like we help someone who is very poor, and we help one member of the family to send them to school, and let the child finish university, and then be able to help his family. And again, that is very noble. That is very, perhaps, good to do. In order for a family to be lifted up out of poverty, and that is good. But again, if it's only for the material gain, if it's only for the, you could say, to save them from poverty, I think it's only good. Because the same, those family, those people, will still die and go to hell. Although it helped them in their to uplift their financial condition, but it doesn't really help them to save their soul. But if you go to that family and then share the gospel, and that is outright noble. That will never, whatever happens to the family, whatever happens in the future, that family, if every individual there will be saved, and then we are saved forever. And that is why it is good. So it is better to help them, not just financially, but most importantly, help people with their spiritual needs. If you have someone in the Philippines, maybe a neighbor that you know, poor, when you try to help them, the best way is help them through the church over there, or help them and make it a condition, go to this church, and then weekly or monthly, I will send you to school, and you can have an allowance from them. That's what I do to my relatives in the Philippines. That's always the thing I do. You can get your allowance from this pastor. And then they will go there, and they will attend the church. But again, I'm helping them with their, maybe to help them in the future, that these young people can go to work and help their families. But at the same time, I want their souls to be saved. So here, again, it is possible that Christians can lose their reward. Because the Bible says so in verse number 13 to 15, there is a potential that many of us are doing things in this world that is not related to gold, silver, stone, or precious stone. But many Christians are living their life, spending their time for the things that we call good, gay, and sour. And for sure, Christians like that will lose their reward and they cannot have anything when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And they will be full of regrets. Full of regrets because they will remember the time, oh, I had an opportunity, but I lost it. So again, for what does God want to reward us? What does God want to reward us? First, when we serve the Lord, and also when we serve others. When you serve the Lord, for sure you have reward, but also when you serve other people, you see our brothers and sisters in need, then you help them. You maybe go to their house. Someone is sick, then you go and cook with them. Or you cook to the house and you go there and then give them food. Or someone in the hospital, you bring something. Or help them with their needs. Maybe you drop them off to those kind of things. You help others. Anything that you do for others will be counted. Everything that you do for the people around us will be counted. Hebrews 7, 6, verse number 10. Hebrews 7, 6, verse number 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of God, which you have shown towards his name. In that you have ministered to the saints. You see, you're not just serving God, but you're helping your brother or sister. You have ministered to the saints, and you minister. Minister the things you have. You lend a helping hand without expecting anything in return, without expecting monetary gain. So that is, God is looking at that and he will reward us for doing that. Mark chapter 9, verse number 21. Even small things, that will be counted. Mark 9, verse 21. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Someone give you a cold water because you are a Christian, because you are a servant of God, because you are you love God, you believe in God, anything. If someone will give you favor, that someone that gives you favor will be rewarded by God. This is very menial thing, a very easy thing, a small thing. Just give water will in no wise lose its reward. There is reward waiting for the person that is giving something small. To the Christian, that is to the Christian, to the believer. So again, that is why in 1 Corinthians 15:58, we are encouraged by Paul. Keep on going. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Whatever good things that you are doing for the Lord or for other people, just keep on doing it. Be steadfast, unmovable. Do not stop, do not swerve, keep on going. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain of the Lord. Remember, just giving water, that's nothing. To us, that's nothing. But to the Lord, it's something. He will reward us. How much more if you do great things in the ministry? How much more if you do something even greater than that
in the ministry, you will never lose your reward. So helping others is very pleasing to God. And also, giving to the poor is pleasing to God. Notice that in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 17. Proverbs 19, verse number 17. He that hath pity upon the poor, lend little to the Lord. You see, the Lord is very rich. He owns the cattle in the thousand hills. He owns the gold and the silver. He owns the mountains. He owns the valleys. He owns the cities. He owns the ocean and the seas. He owns the countries of the world. He owns the universe. He owns the moon. He owns the sun. He owns the air. He owns everything. He is very rich. He owns all the water. You know, in the Philippines, we pay a lot of money for the water, just for the water. And I said to my cousin, that's always asking money from me, I said, you know what? Why are you like this? You're asking money. Why? I keep advising him, you know, go to church, you know, I will help you. I will help you whatever I can. But I want to see you in the church. He will show up once and then get the money and disappear. Then come back again 2 months after, ask for money. And then get show to church. He will again show to church and then disappear again. And then come back again. I said, why are you like this? Then it was raining. You know, it was raining. He said, look at this. You know what? Yesterday I paid my bills, the water bills. 2,000, 3,000. That amount of water I paid, and God owns the ocean, God owns all this water, God is very rich. You can come to God, you can ask God. You know, your need is coming to God. It's just that your heart is not right with God. So here, when you help these people, the rich God will be in all of you. When you help those people in need, the Bible says here, he that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. You cannot outgive God, and you cannot put God into debt. But there is a way that you can put God into debt. Help those people in need, then God will be a debtor to you. Why? Because God now lends to you. He that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him, will he pay him again. That is for sure, because he is very rich. He will not allow that God will not repay you. If you help the poor, don't mind not getting back. If you are helping the poor, because the Lord will pay you back. And that is for sure. That is for sure. You see, Luke chapter 14, verse number 13. It says, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. When we call for a birthday party, when you have a birthday party, do not call the mayor. Do not call the congressman. Do not call the barangay captain and the county councilors and the principal of the schools and the military officers. Do not call them. Call those people who do not have. Those poor people that do not have, cannot even wear proper clothes. Call them. Feed them. Give them, you know, the best food. Why? Because if you call the mayor, the mayor will see you back. No, okay, I'm here. It's my birthday too, you know, you come. It's not good. Because your good deeds are now repaid by the mayor. It's good if your good deeds will be repaid by God. That is why God is calling us here to call all this helpless. These are the people that we need to spend our time and our money and our resources to. If you want blessing from God,
God blesses those who give to someone who cannot, you know, give back to them. And always remember that, because it's good if the Lord will be the one that will reward us. God also will reward, and not just when we give to the poor, God also will reward when we are working for the Lord from our heart. That is why our motive there is tested. Our motive will be revealed. Why you come to church? Why you serve God? Why you sing songs for the Lord? Why you pray? Why you read your Bible? Why you join the choir? Why you serve in the ladies ministry? Why you serve in the youth ministry? Why you come to the men's ministry? All of this motive is the key. In Colossians 3, verse 23, when we serve the Lord from the heart, you are saved. You know, your words will be preserved. Your words will be rewarded by God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Why? Why? For you serve the Lord Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. If we are not recognized for our good deeds, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord that no one recognizes our good deeds, because God will recognize it. But if we are recognized by the people, then it goes our way. The people will praise us. So God will not give us reward anymore, because we already received it from the people. But if our good deeds are not seen by men, then God, you know, God owes you the reward. Because of the good things that you have done to the people and to the church and to the service of God, and no one recognizes it, God owes you. He needs to recognize it. That is why you heard it in the Bible that whatever your right hand is doing, do not let your left hand announce it. When you give in secret, do not publish that you have given something. Because if you publish that you have done good things, then the people will praise you. Then God has done his part. Because the people already praise you. But if no one praises you for that, then there is a credit now. And God will make it known. It is God that will bring down the blessing. Because nobody recognizes it in the world. So here, every good thing a believer does for God with the right heart motive will be rewarded. Our primary motive should always be, our love for the Lord. So working for the Lord, or with the Lord from our heart, and also for sharing the gospel. You share the gospel, you will surely have that reward. You will never miss the reward. Because that is the greatest thing that you can do in this world. The greatest thing you can do in this world is to win someone to the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, it says that the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that giveth souls is wise. You are very wise. God said you are very wise if you win souls. And also notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number, or chapter 3, verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In verse number 7. So then, never is he that planted anything, never is
Then he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that cutteth, and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, if you go so lady, and you want a person, praise the Lord. You need a person maybe, and a person in a Catholic church, but the person later on done speaking and then going to another church, and the Lord blessed him there, and the Lord prospered him there. I will tell you, you as being a person that wanted to the Lord will have your reward. And this also, the person that encouraged him to continue in the Lord will also have his reward. So someone has planted, and another one watered, and then God will give the increase. But each one of these people that involved in the life of this person will have their reward, each one of them. You see? Psalm 126, verse number 5 and 6. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, weep rejoicing, bringing his sheep with him. And John chapter 4, verse number 26. John 4:26, the Bible says, that he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Again, we ran out of time, but we will try to continue this next week. But it's really an interesting topic about the judgment of Jesus Christ. And what we expect there, and the rewards that we will receive, and the agony of loss, not the lake of fire, but the agony of loss, if you fail, you know, to meet the criteria by which our work will catalog to the rewards that God has prepared for us. That is why we are here in the church. We will learn all these things so that we know how to behave ourselves, how to live our life as a Christian, and how to how that we are encouraged by the Lord to love God, to love the souls of men, and to love the Word of God. These things have eternal value. And we will learn much of this in the coming weeks also. But again, I have to cut short because of, we ran out of time. This part is a prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the Sunday school. And for God that will continue to bless us. Help us, Lord, to learn things in this lesson so that, Lord, we know how to behave ourselves and how to live our lives as Christians. Bless, Lord, your people this morning, and I pray that even those people who are still in your way, Lord, that you will continue to bless them. Oh God, this morning I pray for your victory, and even for our divine service, and the first evening service in Brooklyn, and back to our evening service tonight. All these things, Lord, we ask you to please your hands be with us, and your presence, Lord,